We come to you again today with studies in the Gospel through Luke, and we are discussing together chapter 5. In our last lesson, we've been discussing our Lord's power over nature. You remember where we had the great catch of fish in chapter 5, the first 11 verses. We had the confession of Peter after he saw the power of God manifested. For our Lord spoke with authority, and obedience brought a harvest. Then you have the Lord calling them to catch men alive. And here he is calling for them to accompany him, to be his disciples, to walk in fellowship with him. And that same call comes out to us today. The Lord not only wants us to believe on him as our Savior, but he wants us to walk with him. And he loves to walk with us. Remember this. This is a question of a relationship and a fellowship with the living God himself. That where he went, they went. May this be true in our own lives. Or if I were to ask the question, what place does Jesus Christ really have in your life and my life? And then starting in at verse 12 and running through to verse 26, we have our Lord in his power over disease. And first of all, you have him cleansing the leper, which we also had in our last lesson. You remember, he was a man who was full of leprosy. And if I may repeat one or two things, we see here the defilement caused by sin. I think we recognize that leprosy is a real picture of sin. You'll notice our Lord did not heal lepers. He cleansed lepers. And so it is with us. He cleanses us from all sin. And this man is full of leprosy. That is, he was in the last stages of leprosy. And you remember, he came to the Savior and said, if you want to, you can make me clean. He recognized the power of the Lord and the authority of the Lord to heal or to cleanse him from his leprosy. The question he asked was if the Lord would be willing to do that. And, of course, the Lord is always willing to meet a needy heart. He's always willing to cleanse people from sin. Never for once in thousands of years has any soul ever come to the living God through Jesus Christ for cleansing of sin, for forgiveness. But the Lord always meets that need. He has never yet, I say this very bluntly, dogmatically, firmly, that the Lord never once has ever turned away any real heart that's hungry for cleansing from sin. No one has ever been turned away. And friend, I don't care who you are, he will never turn you away. If you mean business with him, as I have oftentimes said, he means business with you. He is indeed the sinner's Savior. Now, following the cleansing of the leper, I read an amazing thing. And we just mentioned this in our last lesson. I'm starting there today in verse 15 of chapter 5 of Luke. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. See, great crowds came to be healed. Why? Because he spoke with authority. And with authority, he healed people. He spoke the word, and demons were cast out. He touched the leper, and he was absolutely cleansed. And as many as touched him, or as many as he touched, were made whole of whatever disease they had. No question mark about that. So the great crowds came to meet Jesus, to hear what he had to say, and to be healed of all their infirmities. And will you notice the next statement, the next verse? And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Question I ask is, why didn't he stay with the crowds? There were plenty of more people to be healed, to be cleansed. Why not stay with the crowds? No, he went out into the wilderness to pray. What do you think he did? Why, of course, he went out to meet with his father. And he spent more than likely the whole night with his father in the wilderness, communing with his father. You remember in chapter 6, verse 12, we have the same thing. It came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. My, how the Lord Jesus loved to be with his Father. He loved to communicate and discuss things with him. How about you and me? Do you mean, sir, that I can come right into the very presence of God and have real fellowship with him? Why, of course. This is why Jesus came, was to put away the barrier of sin. He came to cover you with the righteousness of God. He made it possible for you to come into God's presence. He's removed the barrier between you and God. And as Hebrews chapter 10 says, he's a new and living way which he hath set apart for us who put our trust in him to come right into the very presence of God. Friend, listen. Every man of God has had this opportunity and has taken advantage of it. For example, Paul, if I may quote from Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, we read, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance for all saints. Think of it. Our Lord could say in Luke chapter 18, the first verse, men ought always to pray and not to faint. It's easier to faint than it is to pray. In fact, I would say to you, my Christian friend, if you stop praying, you will soon faint when it comes to spiritual realities. You'll have no strength and no power to stand for God if you don't spend time in the presence of God. I think it's a wonderful thing that God not only redeems us and cleanses us from sin, but makes it possible for you and me at any time, under any circumstance, to come into right, precious fellowship with God. And may I say, friend, this is not a one-way street. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean that when Jesus came into the wilderness to pray, it wasn't one way. That is, that the Lord was just praying all the time, that he was talking all the time. I'm sure that he and his Father had real fellowship, real communion together. You can have that. That's why I suggest sometime to our students that when they spend a time in the presence of God, not just to go in the presence of God when you want something from God, as if God were your servant and you came and asked the Lord for things. Now, he understands. I know that. But why not take the Word of God with you and let him talk to you? Now, God has communicated to us through his Word. And if I want to know the purpose and plan of God, I must go to the Scriptures. You say, well, Mr. Mitchell, you talk a lot about that. That's right. That's right, because it's the foundation. Rule out the Word of God. What is the purpose of God for your life? What is the purpose of God for the church, for the nations, and so on? You don't know. This is where God has spoken. God has spoken to us now through his Son, through the Word of God. Just as Old Testament saints wrote as they were moved upon by the Spirit of God, likewise in the New Testament. The Spirit of God is the author of Scripture, and he communicates to us his purpose, his desire, his will for us. So I say again, when you come in the presence of God, take your Bible and let him talk to you. Meditate. Just think about the thing that God is saying to you personally. I'm not talking about trying to formulate some doctrine or some theology. That this may have its place. What I'm talking about is a personal, precious time of relationship and fellowship with himself, with God himself, with our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God has come to make these things real to us. I just suggest this in passing when I read in Luke's Gospel, where we have our Lord as a man in the midst of men. He withdrew from the crowds. He withdrew to meet with his Father and discuss things with his Father. Fellowship, intimate fellowship with God, is that which delights his heart, and I'm sure will fill you with joy and with peace. Now we come to another case of healing in chapter 5, verses 18, or verse 17. right on down through to verse 26. Allow me to read this little story because it's so precious. It came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now notice who came. He was on a certain day, he was teaching, and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, the ecclesiastical leaders of the day, they came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. In other words, there was a conference going on, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now notice, when was this? After our Lord had spent time in the wilderness with his Father. You see, we go into the wilderness to be refreshed with God. If we neglect getting alone with God, we'll not be refreshed spiritually, nor will our lives be with power. So in verse 15, you have where the Lord, the crowds came to hear him and to be healed. He went into the wilderness to be with his Father. And when he came back, the power of God was present to heal. And who was there? The doctors of the law, the Pharisees were all there, and I'm sure they're there for a purpose, which we read in the next few verses. Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went upon the housetop. And they led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. You can just see the Lord standing there teaching or sitting, as the Jenny case would be, he would be sitting. And here they couldn't get through the crowd with their sick friend, so they went on the roof, and then they let him down right in front of Jesus. Now, verse 20, and when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the man, Man, your sins are forgiven you. The scribes, the Pharisees, began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What are you fellows reasoning about? Why reason ye in your hearts? Which is easier to say, Your sins be forgiven you, or Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise, take up your couch, take up your bed, and go into the house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up there whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Now let me just briefly suggest this to you. Here you have the man, sick of the palsy. And he has some friends. Isn't it wonderful to have friends who can bring people to Jesus? This man had no power to come to Jesus. He was helpless. He was very, very sick of the palsy. So his friends came along, carrying him in his bed, and when they found they couldn't get through the crowd, they just let him down from the roof right in front of the Lord. Now notice something. When Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man, the faith of the friends who brought the man. You see, obstacles mean nothing to faith. These men were persistent. They were not going to be brooked by any delay or any obstacle. They had determined to bring their friend to Jesus so he may be healed. They were the ones who had the faith. Rather precious here when you think of it. These men meant business with God. They were persistent. Are you? Isn't it so easy for us to make a request and get off our knees or wherever you make the request, and then maybe 10 minutes afterwards you forget what the request was. And you're not surprised when your request is not granted. No, you just didn't mean business, that's all. But these men meant business. And you're going to find this all through the Gospel, through Luke. God means business. And when men and women mean business, God will meet their need. So they let him down, and the Lord always answers to faith. Notice the Lord, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and Pharisees talked within themselves, "Who in the world does this man think he is? Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Contrast these religious leaders with the four men who brought their friend. Their friends had faith. Their friends were persistent. They were determined that their friend who was sick was going to be made whole. And they believed that Jesus had the power to heal him. And they're going to brook no delay, no obstacle. Now, in contrast to this, here are the religious leaders of the day. And their one purpose is to find fault with Jesus Christ. And you know, by the way, may I say this? We have the same thing with us today. Let us not think, well, 1900 years ago people lived a certain way and we're so different. Oh no, there's very little difference. We have more gadgets maybe. We may dress a little different. We may have more food to eat and so forth and so on. But really, when you get right down to basic facts, you find those who are full of friendship and they're full of faith and they want people to know their Savior. They want their friends to be cleansed from sin. Oh, how I rejoice in the fact that there are those who are willing, who love the Savior enough and who trust the Savior enough to bring their friends to Jesus. And on the other hand, there are those who are always finding fault. Religious people, of course, that's what these folk here were. Scribes and Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They were the ones who were supposed to be leading the people into a walk with God. Instead of that, they were finding fault with Jesus. This man's a blasphemer. This man's a blasphemer. Say, listen, Christian friend, don't find fault with other Christians. You know, I always remember, and I've made this statement before, but I'm going to repeat it because dear old Brother Bach of the Evangelical Alliance Mission tell our students, every year he came, always told them this, "Dear young people, do not criticize the people of God until God gets through with them." And of course, when God gets through with you and me, we're going to be just like his son. But these scribes and Pharisees, they had just one purpose, and that was to find fault. Now then, Jesus threw a challenge to them. Listen to the challenge. When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said to them, Why do you reason in your hearts? Which is the easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or rise up and walk? Or putting it this way, which is the greater problem, the physical or the spiritual? Can you answer that question? Which is the greater issue, the spiritual or the physical? And I'm sorry to say there are those well-meaning Christians who are more concerned about the physical than they are about the spiritual. And some people have an idea that if a person is healed, and I'm not opposed to that, I agree with you, we believe God can heal, but we're more concerned about that than we are about the souls of men and women. And our Lord said, which is the easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? It's the challenge. He challenged their thoughts. And by the way, he manifested omniscience. He knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were muttering in their beards, as a fellow says. And by the way, he knows your thoughts too. Do you ever think of it? He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. Our Lord one day said to the people, every idle word will be brought into judgment. And my friend, unless you've been cleansed by the blood of Christ, I don't want to be in your shoes. Every thought, every word. As the 139th Psalm says, He knows our thoughts afar off. He knows when you go out and He knows when you come in. He knows when you stand up and when you sit down. This is the 139th Psalm. And I'm not surprised that David said, this is too wonderful for me. And that's true. That's true. Who can understand such a sovereign God? An omniscient God who knows every thought and every word that you and I think and say. He sees everything we do. Believe me, my friend, we're dealing with a living God. And so he throws the challenge down to these religious leaders. He throws the challenge down to you and to me today. The spiritual is far more important than the physical. Now we'll take that up in our next lesson. And the Lord bless you today.